Hey, book besties, we're your hosts, Kelsey
And Nikki.
And this is For the Shelf Podcast. Okay, before we get into everything, I just want to do like a little recap. October has been kind of wild. So first of all, I'm back. Yay!
Welcome back, Kelsey. We missed you last week.
I listened to the episode. It was great. I loved it. I don't know if I really needed to know what did you call it? Like cock holding?
Cock warming.
Cock, yeah.
Yeah. So Kelsey also didn't know what cock warming was. So I was not the only one out there who was unaware.
Yeah. So I have Butcher and Blackbird on my TBR. I still haven't read it yet. And this book kind of made me want to read it and also kind of made me scared. But anyways, the episode was great. I loved it. Also, the muff, like, so it's like a little thing that she like put your hands in that they usually have more in like the Victorian kind of days, but it kept your hands warm. And so it was like one of those, like, you know what the Chinese finger things are?
Yeah, yeah.
That is like that for like your hand.
I can picture those.
Yeah, yeah. So that's all I've been thinking about is now anytime I see one of those, I'm going to think of cock warming.
Well, Douglas sent me a text message after the episode and said that all they can think about is like cock snuggies. So now I'm thinking of like a tiny little bathrobe that you can like wrap around it.
Good. Yeah. Okay.
This also made me go down an Etsy rabbit hole to see if there was clothing and costuming for your cock. If you were into such things, you can buy little cowboy hats.
Stop.
You can buy Santa hats.
Oh my God.
I know. There's things. You should go check it out on Etsy.
Okay. But yeah, anyway, so October was a little wild. Two hurricanes. Then my child was sick. Then my child turned a year. So it was a little, it was different, but we should be back on track, back to our normal episode recordings. This episode is going to be a little different, but we had always planned for it to be a little different. Today is Halloween. We are recording this.
Happy Halloween!
Happy Halloween. It is Halloween, so this is like our kind of technically Halloween episode, even though it's not going to be released on Halloween. So we just wanted to do something kind of fun for that. But yeah, I'm glad everything has calmed down in my world. And now I can just focus back on the podcast. And today was the first, I noticed today was the first day I came back to work in like almost a month.
Glad to have you back. We needed you today.
So yeah, I'm glad to be here. Okay, so now back to our regular scheduled programming.
And so before we get started, this podcast is intended for a mature audience. Use of profanity is a definite, along with discussions of graphic content and mature sexual themes. May not be suitable for anyone under 18. Listener discretion is advised.
So this week, we will be discussing That Time I Got Drunk and Saved a Demon by Kimberly Lemming. And then we have some special bonus content for you in place of our spoiler part of the episode.
So you won't have to jump off. We're not going to be doing a spoiler review. We're just going to be doing bonus content.
Yeah. But before we get into that, let's get into last week's bookish news. So I have a couple of things. So one, LJ Andrews released two Halloween bonus scenes.
What?
Yeah, from both the Everseas and the Broken Kingdom.
Yes, I love both of those.
Yeah, so she released them today. You can find them on her website if you want to read them. And then she also will be dropping some art prints tomorrow from Broken Kingdom series. So have to check those out. And then
I love LJ Andrews. If you guys are looking for like some spicy, you know, for a bowl of mac and cheese, but like a well-written mac and cheese, check her out.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see what the art is that she's going to be releasing, because I can only assume that it's going to be not safe for work. For sure. Okay. And then I have also a JLA. So Jennifer Armentrout tease that she's going to be releasing some news or something is going to be coming out tomorrow at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on today.com. So if you are a fan of JLA and you want to know what the news is, be sure to check out today.com tomorrow, which is November 1st. So by the time this comes out, it'll already be out.
I wonder if they're adapting something. I wonder if that's what it is.
Maybe, because, you know, there's been so many things that have come out recently that are already being picked up and adapted. And so I wouldn't be surprised. I really wouldn't.
Not her main series. What is the main series?
She's so many.
I know, but like the big Blood spicy and Ash. Blood and Ash. I don't think they'd be able to adapt that because it's very spicy.
Well, not only that, but she's still writing it. And then she has the like prequel series. What is that? Flesh and Fire, I think. I don't know. I would assume it's like
lots. One of the young adult ones. Because I noticed lately that a lot of those are getting special editions and re-releases, so I'm wondering if we're, you know, vamping up for something.
Maybe the Lux series, maybe the Covenant series, because they just re-released new paperbacks with sprayed edges this year. Who knows? But, I mean, I'm happy for her, so
yeah,
whatever it is. Okay, and then I have some news regarding Fear of the Flames. So, Olivia has posted...
Fear of the Flames? Okay.
Yeah. So Olivia has posted that Wrath of the Dragons, which is the sequel, it will be coming out in 2025. She got the U.S. cover. It is going to be revealed soon. Not yet, but she's seen it. She says it's absolutely amazing. She loves everything about it. And she says it just perfectly like ties into, like, I guess the trad published version of Fear of the Flames. She said the book is also a dual point of view, so you're going to get both Elowen and Caden's point of view. And then she said that they don't know the tropes exactly because she's still in drafts, but she says she gave us a list of things she's excited about. So there's going to be epic battles filled with dragon riding. They're going to be more like spicy, steamy romance scenes. She says morally gray is her favorite color, so you can only imagine what that means.
That's also my favorite.
New characters that expand both the core five, the story, and the world. They're going to be traveling to a new kingdom. Dormant magic that slowly awakens, including ancient languages, myths, and legends. And then she has the story of a man who came from nothing, had even that ripped away from him and rose above those who looked down upon him. So I'm assuming that's about Caden. Of course, we already know that there's a found family. There's going to be like political, because I mean, if you read the book, then you know the kind of ending. So they're going to be going more on the political, or they're going to be talking about
intrigue.
Yeah. And then she also said there's going to be pain, suffering, and sobbing.
Oh.
So I don't know what that means. I really hope that doesn't mean we're going to lose a character.
Oh, I bet it's her best friend.
Oh, don't. Because I was so hard when he almost died in the first book. So, yeah. Anyways, I'm excited. If you want to read the whole thing, it is on her Instagram. So you can go and check it out. But I really enjoyed Gear the Flames, so I can't wait for the second one to come out. I think it's going to be, like, my new favorite bowl of mac and cheese.
Really? You liked it that much?
I did. I really did, because, I don't know, I just found, like, and we talked about it, obviously, on that episode, but after, like, the transition and the writing of the first 60 pages, like, getting into actual story, I was very intrigued by the plot. So, yeah, I mean, I really liked it.
You know what my favorite bowl of mac and cheese is right now? The Blood and Steel series by Helen somebody. Schurer. Helen Schurer.
Yeah.
So good. I'm on book 3. It is fantastic. Highly recommend.
Yeah. I haven't started that one because I've still been working my way through Bonsat Thai.
You're so far ahead of me.
Oh, my God. It's so good, and it's so heartbreaking. Same time. But yeah, so that's all of the bookish news that I have. So now let's jump into our review of That Time I Got Drunk and Saved by a Demon.
So at the time of this recording, the Goodreads rating for this book is a 3.91 stars with 43,000 ratings. This book was released in July of 2021 and it's the first in the Mead Mishap series. And there's quite a few of them out now. I don't know how many, but there's like at least 3 or 4.
Yeah.
At least.
You can find this book on KU. You can also find it on a physical form. Don't forget to use bookshop.org to get your physical copy. And now we're going to get into the description of this book. All I wanted to do was live my life in peace. Maybe get a cat, expand my spice farm, really anything that doesn't involve going on a quest where an orc might rip my face off. But they say the goddess has favorites. If so, I'm clearly not one of them. After saving the demon Fallon in a wine-drunk stupor, all he wanted to do was kill an evil witch enslaving his people. I mean, I get it, don't get me wrong. But he's dragging me along for the ride, and I'm kind of peeved about it. On the bright side, he keeps burning off his shirt.
So, the genre for this book, if you can't tell, this is a paranormal romance, fantasy, romanticy, rom-com. This is funny. It is meant to be funny, guys. The trigger warnings include death, loss of a sibling, which is off-page, gore. There is some pretty mature sexual content, and then implied slavery.
Yeah, so my spice rating for this book was a 3. It's pretty standard stuff for, like, the romanticy, paranormal romance. Nothing, like, super kinky or crazy happened in it. There wasn't a, like, ton of spicy scenes, but the spicy scenes that we had were spicy.
Yeah, it took a while to get to the spice. I think I did give it a 3.5. Because there is some dirty talk. There's a very light BDSM use of the P and the C word and then the big C word. Don't look at me like that. I don't know. Some people don't like the big C word.
Yeah, I guess.
So I've got a lot of comments here. For Christ's sake, don't say folds.
Yeah.
The folds of my pussy. I could not imagine saying that out loud to my partner, being like, rub it in the folds of my pussy. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. No. That one gets.
Yeah. It's giving ick. Some other things that I thought were a little silly that I wanted to mention. She refers to his cock as delicious invasion. And then she says the phrase balls deep in my pussy. These are things that she says out loud. Again, I don't. When was the last time you said balls? It could go balls deep in my pussy. Like, I don't know.
I don't think that's a statement I've ever uttered in my entire life, but I know the balls deep thing is a more, like, modern kind of, like, for young adults.
Well, it's like or a like teen thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's too familiar. But, so yeah, so that was my qualms. Also, the term rut. When you say, so she said, yeah.
I forgot
she goes,
about that.
I want you to flip me over and fuck me senseless. I want your hand grabbing my neck as you spank me until I come. Then I want you to pull my hair as you rut into me.
Yeah. That's...
We're good until we get to rut. And then it's like, ick.
Yeah.
You know.
There are words when it comes to sex scenes that immediately are like a turnoff and I don't want to read it. Folds are one of them. Globes. I don't know why globes bother me.
Channel.
Yeah. Channel. Also, I mean, if you've listened to any of the other episodes, you know, boobs bothers me.
I think everyone knows their boobs bother
me. I know. They're breasts. Come on, people. They're breasts. But yeah, so yeah, this one kind of every now and then gave me the ick. I don't know if it was intentional though, because this book is not meant. This is not a book that
it's kind of silly that we're even attempting to think critically about this book, because this is not, you know, this is not literature, guys.
No.
This is just.
Yeah, this book is not meant for if you're trying to, like, actually read something entertaining or, like, to get immersed into a story. This is not it. So I don't know if those things are done intentional because of the way that this book is written, or if that is just how she writes. I don't know. But yeah, a couple of places it gave me the ick. For Sweet Pino rating, I gave it a 2.5, because if you count maiming and killing people as romance, then I mean, I guess sure.
I mean, I do.
we know. But there is one scene in the book, they're in the bathtub and she is like, you know how like in most romanticy books, he like washes her hair? Well, she washes his hair. So it's reverse. And it was really cute.
Okay. So if you'll recall, not Butcher Blackbird episode, but the episode before that, at the very, very end, if you made it all the way to the end, I was like, started screaming about how we forgot to talk about the hair washing trope.
Oh, yeah.
So what I want to know, what I wanted to know, is how often do people actually get their hair washed by their partner for this to be such a prevalent and common recurring trope?
I have never had my hair washed by my husband, mostly because I'm very particular about the way that I wash my hair, especially when it's colored, because like I have to wash it with certain shampoo and then it has to sit on there. And then like I can only wash it in like a certain temperature because I do like colors, or like with my red, like I can only wash it in cold water. So I'm very particular about my hair. But I will say, like, my husband has, like, washed my back and stuff to be, like, cutesy. He would wash my hair if I let him, but I don't because, again, I'm very particular about it.
So I brought this up to the person that I am dating, who then offered to wash my hair. And I was like, do it. I was like, I want to know. I want to know what all the hype is about. And I have to say, I was slightly uncomfortable. And he used so much shampoo.
Yeah.
That it took me, I'm sorry, baby, if you're listening, took me so many minutes to get the shampoo out. But, like, I don't know. I didn't have this religious experience that all these women in fantasy are.
Yeah.
I think it's an overhyped trope, guys.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I think, like, if you do, like, bubble baths or, like, baths together, like, that's cute and romantic.
But yeah, I guess.
But, like, yeah, the hair washing thing. Yeah, because, like, for women in particular, or even some men that have a lot of hair, especially if you have thick hair like I do, yeah, it's a routine. Yeah, it's a nightmare if you use just even a little more shampoo or conditioner than normal. Like, because I remember being younger and having, like, my mom or my grandma or somebody have to, like, wash my hair. And I would come out, and as soon as my hair dry, it would look like I hadn't washed my hair in, like, 2 weeks. Because if you do, especially with mine, if you don't get all of the, like, conditioner out, it looks greasy. Because, like, my hair, like, I have, like, I'm Hispanic, so my hair is very much in that same texture and, like, is just naturally oily. And so if you leave any product in it, you're just done for it. And it looks like you haven't showered or washed your hair in like 2 weeks. So, yeah, I think it's a cute idea, but in the real world, I don't think it happens.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. But yes, yeah, so that was my sweet pinot rating. Yeah, we went on.
Where are we? Like, what were we talking about before that? I gave it a 2 pinos. I am all for, like, I will maim and kill the people for you. Like, that cool thumbs up. But he was so, like, just so, just hard up for her right from the very beginning.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Well, we'll get more into that. Like, I guess that's more so,
I
like,
love the he falls first situation.
Yeah. I mean, don't we all?
Yeah.
That's a pretty big trope. Okay, let's get into your favorite part, smell report.
Smell report! You'll be excited about this smell report. We have something different.
I know.
So Fallon, our male MC, he smells like blackcurrant and violet. And then later on, he smells like a sandy beach and sunlight.
All right.
So it's not pine.
No.
It's not forest or woods, or what's the other thing that everyone smells
evergreen.
Like evergreen? Yeah, that's
very refreshing that he doesn't smell like that. And I like how his first scent are like real things, and then his second scent are two not real things.
Yeah,
like you couldn't do like one real, one not, and the one real, one not. But well, I mean, whatever.
Yeah, see, it's a romanticy.
And I would assume cinnamon smells like
cinnamon. Yeah.
Because she works on a cinnamon farm. Okay, so let's get into our tropes. So we have touch her and die, forbidden love. They use the word mates in this book. I guess they say, like, Fallon is a demon in their world. Like, they mate. They don't marry. So there's, like, the mates. And then...
But it's not like a mate bond like it is with, no. like, the fairies. It's not like their souls are intertwined.
No, it's just...
They can decide to be mates.
Yeah, it's just like instead of you being like husband and wife, you're just mates. So it's just the term that they use. And then you added one on here that you said that you recognize.
Oh yeah, refusing the call. Where like the hero is, you know, called to do a quest and they're like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah.
So she definitely had that energy. She was like, no, I don't really want to go save the world. This is not what I want to do.
Yeah, like the book starts off like, every, what is it, like 15 years or something like that, there is a champion that is pulled from each area of the world, and they go and they battle the demons to keep them behind the gate, and everybody wants to be the hero that's chosen, and she's very much like, I don't.
Right. And she colors her hair pink or something so that she's not, you know, considered like hero quality and like hides in the back. She's like, don't choose me.
Yeah. And then surprise, she gets chosen, but backwards, basically. She's not chosen by the goddess. She's chosen by her demon to go fight the goddess who is not a goddess. So getting into the plot characterization, world building. Again, this book is not really meant to get yourself immersed into a plot or a story. Yes, it's technically a series, but they are all standalone. I don't even know if they're set in the same world or not. There's very minimal world building. Basically, think of Louisiana. New Orleans is kind of what I got. Like, they have bayou and the swamp and the, like...
Yeah, they're eating crawfish and, like...
Yeah, so that's kind of what I got. Again, there's... And this is a very short book. There's, like, 200-something pages in it, so... There's not a lot of world building or anything going on in it. Our main characters, we have Cinnamon. She's the female lead. And then we have Fallon. He's the male lead. Cinnamon, she's like a party girl, but also like doesn't want to leave her village. She very much just wants to stay in like her small town and live her life out on her farm.
Yeah, and grow her cinnamon. And
Again, there's not much like character development or input into these characters because it's really not that type of book. Fallon, the biggest thing that I loved about his character is like the little interactions that you get where he's basically learning how to be a human because obviously he's a demon and they've been locked behind this gate in basically the mountains and he knows nothing of like their culture and she cooks him meals and like he, you know, is learning how to eat these things. And he, what did he call?
Oh, he made her crabs and he called them sea spiders.
Yeah, sea spiders. Yeah, that's what it was. So just seeing like the little interactions where he's just like trying food for the first time and like learning words and customs. And there's one scene where this guy comes up to Cinnamon and basically accosts her. And in his culture, like, you know, you kill and maim for your woman. And he, like, breaks this guy's arm and goes to kill him. And she's like, what are you doing? And he was like, oh, you don't want me to? Like, that's not what we do here? And she's like, no. And so it's just funny. And it's funny to watch him learn how to, like, live in her world.
I thought it was also really funny that they encountered these, like, highwaymen, you know, robbers or whatever. Their names were Gary and Jeff.
Yeah.
Gary and Jeff, the feared fearsome robbers.
Yeah. Yeah, this book is very much like a comedy. And so a lot of the scenes that are supposed to be, you know, pretty serious always have some type of like humor built into them.
So to me, this book read like a D&D quest. Like a session, like a session of Dungeons and Dragons if your DM was just really horny.
Okay.
So that to me it was
I've never played D&D, so I'll have to take your word on it. Yeah, so for the plot, there was kind of a plot. They go on this quest. He obviously, like, gets out from the gate, and he tells her, like, yeah, that's not a goddess. She's, like, a leech or something, like, a witch or whatever. And she's, like, oppressing his people. And so they go on the quest to, like, break these chalices to release all the demons. And somehow Cinnamon Sticks, like, the goddess or witch makes them insane, but the cinnamon, like, makes them sane. Like the antidote. Yeah, it's like the antidote or whatever. And so, yeah, that's, like, the plot line. And then, of course, like...
Yeah, it was, like three little bosses... And then you have your big boss. And yeah. That was really what it was. And it seemed, it was just really repetitive. Yeah. You know, it was like, we're going to defeat the little bosses the same way. And it's like, meh. It was really just like.
And then, yeah. And then
the action wasn't super well written, in my opinion.
No.
Again, it was like, if your DM was horny and took you guys on.
Yeah. And then, like, you meet all of these, like, side characters that are just kind of ridiculous. I mean, there's a freaking snake man, for Christ's sakes. So, you know, it's... Again, this book is just to read if you kind of want a filler book and you want to read maybe something not super heavy or something like just as funny and a good time. Like, this is that
book. Yeah, you're lighthearted, just like,
yeah,
whatever.
So for our ratings, I gave it a 3. Again, I thought it was funny. It was kind of like an in-between read. Again, it's not anything that you read to gain like a plot or story or anything literary from it, but I thought it was a good time. I enjoyed it. Yeah, it wasn't terrible. It wasn't the best thing I ever read. I think it did what it was supposed to do.
Yeah, I mean, it had a purpose. It had a specific purpose, and that was to entertain you. I was not entertained. I'm giving this book 2 stars. I hate a familiar narrator, even if we're in a funny, like, comedy. I hate it. I hate when they use modern language and throw it in a fantasy setting. For example, that was a whole ass mood. Or pillage and chill. No. No. Not for me. This book was absolutely ridiculous. In fact, when I found out originally that we were skipping this episode to do Butcher and Blackbird first, I DNF'd the book. And then when you said we were doing it, I had to go back and read it really fast last night and finish it. But, yeah, I mean, no, not for me. Not for me, not for my shelf.
Yeah, it's not for my shelf. I'm not going to go and buy a physical copy for it. I think it is perfectly, I think it's good on KU. I think that's where you're going to get all of the readers from. Because, yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm ever going to read any of the other ones.
No, I'm not going to read it.
It was just like, it was funny because I saw it on a TikToker, book talker, and she read the first two, and that's kind of what drew my attention to it. And she's like, yeah, these are like super funny. And we've had a lot of duds or like heavy books. And so I was like, you know, we're going to do the Halloween episode. Like, let's just do something, you know, funny. So I think it served its purpose in that. But yeah, I mean, this is kind of like an in-between throwaway book.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Certainly is.
I don't know. I had a good time, though. I thought it was funny.
So speaking of throwaway books, Kelsey.
Oh, God. Okay.
So I guess instead of, like we said in the beginning, instead of doing a spoiler review, because there's not really any spoilers for the book we just discussed, we're just going to talk about some other kind of throwaway books and things that we have read.
Yeah. So for our special bonus content, we are going to be going into our review of Mating Mallows, which is another, it's 90 pages. This is another book that you read to gain absolutely nothing out of. It is absolutely ridiculous. It took me about maybe 20 minutes to read it. It's a very, very small, it's a short story, basically. And it's just utterly ridiculous.
So what is the plot of Mating with Mallows, Kelsey? Why don't you?
So the plot of Mating Mallows is basically this girl hates peeps. From
like marshmallow peeps.
Marshmallow peeps. Mm-hmm. From like a young age, I don't think she got traumatized, but she just absolutely hates them. And she's at the store one day and she sees them on the shelf. And it's like the standard pack that you get at Easter, right? So it's like the yellow, the blue, the hot pink, and I can't remember what the other color.
Purple, I think.
Yeah. And so she's, for some reason, she's like, you know what? Like, I'm going to give it another try. And somebody tells her, like, oh, you should, like, try them in the microwave. Like, heat them up. Like, they're better that way. So she takes them home. She heats them up. And they explode out of her microwave and turn into, like, men. But they're, like, marshmallow consistency. Like, they're not human. They're, like, marshmallow people. But they're, like, apparently they're, like, 8-pack. Like, they have an 8-pack. They're, like, ripped. They're 6 foot.
They're hung.
Yes, they have ginormous cocks. And she heated up only 2 of them in the microwave. So there's 4 in the pack. She only heats up 2. And for some reason, these peep people come out of the microwave. And she goes, you know what I want to do? I want to fuck them. And so this is what happens. She has sex with the 2 marshmallow people. The 2 marshmallow people are like, oh my God, we love you. We are so much in love with you. And then she, at the end of the book, goes, huh, I should microwave the other 2. And that's it.
What's the best part, though, about dating with Mallows?
Oh, God.
What comes out?
Fluff, right? Like the fluff?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
So instead of semen, they ejaculate fluff.
Marshmallow fluff.
Marshmallow fluff.
Yep. That's the only thing I took away from that book.
No, you're like, why the fuck are you reading this book? How did you ever find it? Again, I found this from a different book talker. And she was like, this is so unhinged. It came up on like my like things you should read. She's like, it is so ridiculous. And I saw that and I was like, immediately I'm making Nikki read it. And the backstory about this is Nikki, like a few months ago, had this book called Nicholas. And she goes to me and she's like, you need to read this book. And what's better than reading this book is I'm going to make you buy this book from me to read this book. And I was like, okay. This is before I started working here and like before the podcast. I mean, we were friends, but like it was more like I was coming in like as a customer type thing. And
so this was my romantic-y recommendation of the week. $5 too. And you got $5 worth of entertainment out of Nickel. Don't say that you did not.
I was just saying, like, yeah, we were going back and forth giving each other recommendations, like real recommendations for real, like, books that we really enjoyed. And she slipped Nicholas in, and I read it, and I was like, what the fuck is this? And for some reason, I read the whole thing.
I'm going to read you guys the blurb, Nicholas, and I can't see if I'm going to discuss it.
Oh, God.
Because we want you to read it, too. He had sworn to take a proper wife. He hadn't bargained on meeting his match. Nicholas looks very much like what he is, the handsome, successful heir to a vineyard in Tuscany. But Nicholas is much more. For he is one of the last in an ancient line of satyr men. And the dying king of Elseworld wants him not only to marry, but to wed one of the king's own daughters. A half-human, half-fairy woman, unaware of her heritage. Nicholas won't shirk his duty to produce heirs and guard his race's legacies, but he never plans to make his bride his only lover. A satyr's sexual hunger and sensual skills are legendary. One woman will never satisfy him. Or so Nicholas believes, until he meets Jane. As spirited as she is fey, as beautiful as she is innocent, she is nevertheless determined to make her new husband hers alone, and she is eager for him to teach her every deliciously carnal secret he knows. The blurb makes it sound like this is a standard romanticy situation.
No.
This is not what you're getting, folks.
No.
Nope.
First of all, she's a virgin, so you got the virgin trope in there. Second of all, on the very first chapter, the opening scene is him and his brothers, and they're in their centaur forms. And this apparently happens, is it every full moon?
Satyr, not centaur.
Okay.
So they're goats. They're the half goats.
Okay.
Right. Not half horse.
Okay. So this happens like every full moon, and they go to like this slab of marble. I think it's a statue of their dad, which is even fucking weirder. And they are like, we're so horny, we have to have sex right now. And so they like conjure up these fake women and they have sex with them. Like they're just like made out of thin air.
Like Yeah, like air pixies.
Yeah, they're I can't. Sentient beings, and they're there, and they just like bend over, and yeah, they like fuck them.
But no, but the best part is during the full moon or once a month during the ritual, Nicholas and his satyr brothers grow an extra penis out of their stomach.
Yeah,
and they have to, in order to like make the second stomach penis go away, they have to ejaculate.
Yeah, yeah.
So they have to get off the second stomach penis first, and then the regular penis,
or both at the same time.
Yeah,
and then if it's not any fucking weirder than that, they get a snake thing. There's a snake thing that comes out and apparently like cleans and repairs.
But is it like a tail? Like I kind of glossed over the snake.
No, it's just like snakes
like
out.
Like as a second penis.
Out of his belly button.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. So it's a snake creature and it like licks the vag area.
The
with,
vag
like,
and the ass. Yes.
So that it's like healed up from all the tearing and bruising that's happening during this monthly satyr sex.
Yeah. The whole book is just fucking ridiculous. Because there's even more that goes into it. There's witches that are involved and like, and there's just,
and he has to come on the soil to like heal the land at one point. Like the forest is dying and it can only be healed by his semen.
Yeah, his grapevines, and they have to like fuck in the soil to make the grapes not die. It's so ridiculous. Anyways, so Nikki forced me to read that book. And so,
to be fair, though, guys, if you had just picked that up at, because I got it at, like, the Goodwill bookstore or something. If you had picked that up and read the back, you're like, oh, there's a whole bunch. Sounds like they're having orgies and, you know, like, it's a reverse harem or it's a harem or whatever. Like, thought it was going to be different.
There's 7 of these books.
Oh, yeah. Nicholas is just the first in the series.
There's 7 of them.
I wonder if that's still here for sale.
Yeah, she, any chance she gets, she puts it on Shelf's website to try and sell it. And
I feature it on Instagram all the time.
There was one time where this poor girl came in and she was like, I'm getting into romanticy. Like, I'm getting into it. I don't know where to start. And we have a whole romanticy section. And so we're like trying to help her like pick titles. And then Nikki goes, and here's Nicholas. And I'm like, oh my God.
I told her, though, I was like, hey, if you're into Extra Anatomy, well, I'm like, this is a satyr romance. I don't know. Who?
She's dipping her toe into romance. Anyways, so because of that, I got her back by making her read Mating with Mallows. And the best part about it is I get alerts anytime you rate anything on Goodreads because we're friends. And so when you rated Mating Mallows, you literally put, well, this is the thing I read. And I was dying laughing.
Hey, my Goodreads reviews got me invited to be like an ARC team member for some company.
Listen, I'm so pissed at Goodreads. And Goodreads, if you're listening, this is for you. The amount of giveaways that I enter, that I will then get emails. Something about, here's an update about your giveaway or your Goodreads giveaway. And every single one's like, sorry you didn't win, but here's a link to purchase this book. And then, to make matters worse, I've never won one. Never. Not even a Kindle one. Like, not even an ebook one. I haven't won a single one. This girl posted in one of, like, my book Facebook groups. She's like, oh my God, today's the greatest day. She found like a Barbie cover of Throne of Glass.
Oh, fuck her face.
And then she's like, I won 3 giveaways.
Okay, so I think the Goodreads thing is pretty rigged because I think that they specifically target people that review often. So if you're not writing like paragraph and paragraph reviews, I think that those are the people that they're picking.
I don't know. Upset. I haven't won a single one.
I won a book once, but I mean, we're talking like 10 years ago, and I didn't review it. I didn't even read it. So maybe that's why I haven't won any.
You haven't won any. My friend Megan won one recently, and she's like, it's the one that I really wanted. And I was like,
good for you, Megan.
Yeah. I haven't won a single one. Anyways, but I do enjoy reading your Goodreads reviews. Thanks.
I haven't been reading very much lately. Well, also, we have that website that you can go on, and you can just request digital arcs.
NetGalley?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can use our shelf account.
I know, I need to, because when I use my own, they're like, sorry, nope.
Well, they can't refuse us because we're a bookstore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got the one for me. I think it was the Tessa Bailey one. And then I can't figure out how to put it on my Kindle. So then I just waited until the book came out and then I bought it.
So I got, the first one that NetGalley gave me was the Kate Golden, The Promise of Peridot, A Dawn of Onyx.
Okay, yeah,
so
yeah.
I got book three, and I got book three a few months before it was released. I think it's actually out now. And I couldn't figure out how to put it to the Kindle, and I thought I was doing it wrong, so I just kept clicking send over and over again, and it sent 150 copies to my Kindle. So that every time I deleted any content, a new copy of A Ruin of Roses would pop up, and I would just keep deleting them and deleting them and deleting them, and this went on for like a month and a half. Yes, you
know. Oh no, that's funny.
Yeah, I'm stupid. I'm so technologically.
I mean, I don't know. I think sometimes getting things onto the Kindle is hard. They don't make it super easy.
Yeah, unless you're using the Kindle Unlimited.
Yeah, yeah. Then that's super easy.
Yeah, because you can't even browse on the Kindle and and buy a book from the Kindle. You have to go physically to the Amazon shop. It's stupid. Amazon/Kindle, if you're listening, can we do something about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super glad that we now have Kindles in color, but can we just fix the Kindle browsing, adding to library system?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing that kind of annoys me is when you send a book to your Kindle to download it, it doesn't automatically download it. So the amount of times that I've taken my Kindle in the car, to read it, and then I go to open the book, it's like, sorry, you're not connected to Wi-Fi to download it. And I was like, but I sent it to the Kindle with downloading it, and it didn't download.
Yeah, but in the car, at least you can download it to your phone, and then it'll pop up on your Kindle.
Yeah, but why can't it just do that onto the Kindle? Yeah.
Okay, Amazon, again, you should be listening. Even for the 12 people that do listen to us.
Yeah. Yeah, for real. I know this episode is kind of unhinged a little bit. We've force-fed you three books that you'll probably have no interest in reading.
No, I think you should read Nicholas. I think we made that into a blind date and gave it to somebody.
I mean, it needed to be because nobody was going to pick that up and read it. The man is naked with just a purple sheet covering his cock. And he doesn't have a head.
Well, does he need to?
I mean,
at that point.
That was just what was the cover.
So much if you're still listening to us, if you've been here this long.
Yeah.
What are we going to take away from this episode? I guess we want to hear about your experiences about having your hair washed, and if you think it's worth the hype. I guess that's my only listener question.
Yeah, or if you have any unhinged books that you would like us to review.
Oh, there's that one airplane where the airplane becomes...
What?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that it's called Airpian, and it's about an airplane that fucks her somehow.
I don't. No, but did you hear about the woman in real life that married a locomotive?
What?
And her ex-husband was an airplane.
What?
Yeah, yeah. And her ex-boyfriend before that was a shipping container.
What?
Yeah, yeah. There's a real life woman who says that her husband, life partner, is a train, is part of a train. And deadass, she has that part of the train in her backyard. Aww. And she goes and, sleeps with it.
That sleeps next to it or sleeps with
I don't want to know. I don't want to. She just says sleeps with it. And then she talked about how her ex-husband was an airplane. And then before that, her ex-boyfriend was a shipping container.
I believe that that's actually a thing. There's a word for it. People who are sexually attracted to inanimate objects.
Yeah.
Where did those gourds come from?
Oh, your mom dropped them off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, no, there is a real-life woman who, I mean, at least that's what she says. I don't know if she was just saying it to, like, get on TV, but...
I heard of someone that was, like, in love with their iPhone. Like
there's so, you know what, sexually. There's so many movies and TV shows and books about, like, the people that fall in love with AI and, like, robots and stuff like that. Like, I just recently saw a clip on TikTok. It's, like, a movie that, you know, the man from 365?
Yeah, I can tell you that.
And then Megan Fox, and she's, like, an AI. And she, like, comes
Michael
to...
Fox is so hot.
I know. And she comes to live with him and is, like, the nanny. And he has, like, an actual wife. And he, like, fucks the robot.
Well.
Yeah, I know. But she's a robot. Ugh. Anyways. I have no idea where I was going with that. Oh, but the only other...
But people fuck fake things all the time.
I mean, yeah.
Like, fake vaginas and sex dolls and have you.
But that's, like, men.
So this is a... Just the same thing, but more interactive.
That's a stretch.
I don't know.
I'm sure at some point in the future we will have AI sex dolls.
Do now.
I mean, probably.
I'm sure that we do.
I'm sure if you're
ready. If you have one, tell us what you do with it, but just let us know that this technology exists.
I don't know if I want to know that.
Well,
you ever seen a robot?
Yes.
The movies. Scary. This podcast has gone
this way podcast is scary.
Off the rails. For sure. But no, anyways, there is a book that I have seen that has popped up and it came about during COVID and it's literally like I fell in love with the coronavirus. And it's like this doctor who is trying to, I guess, either make a cure or something with the coronavirus. And then it turns into a person, and she falls in love with the coronavirus.
Does she die?
I don't know. I haven't read it. I just know it exists. I think I told Douglas to read it.
Yeah, Douglas read that turkey one. Where it was stuffed by a turkey or something.
Yeah.
So that exists. And it is Thanksgiving-ish time soon. So.
Are you going to make me read the stuffed turkey book?
Let's do it.
Okay.
All right.
My mom is going to be so confused with my Kindle. So we share a Kindle account. She's going to be like, what the hell is all this?
Oh, that's share okay. A Kindle account with like 7 people.
That's okay. My mom can't figure out how to sync it, so it's fine. Perfect. She won't know. All right. Well, thank you so much, if you are still listening, which I doubt it, for joining us on this episode. That time I got drunk and saved a demon and mating Mallows and Nicholas a little bit. Next week, we'll be back to, like, our regular scheduled programming with real reviews of real books. So next week, we will be discussing Shatter Me by Tahara. And if I said that wrong...
You did good. You did great.
Okay, if I pronounced that wrong, I apologize. Mafi. And so that will be next week's book. Again, don't forget to... like and follow us on all of our major social media platforms at The Shelf Podcast. And thank you so much for listening. If you are still here.
Yes, we love you all.
Okay, bye, besties.